The book of 3 John is not very long, but it teaches us a lot of things about our example. We probably know the book most about the bad example of Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. But there are others mentioned there. There's Gaius and there's Demetrius, who have excellent examples that are mentioned in his book. In 3 John, and in verse 11, 3 John verse 11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true." People spoke well of Demetrius. And John even mentions that the truth also gave him a good testimony. Have you ever thought about that? Sounds interesting. How does one have the truth witness on their behalf? Truth normally is what defines good behavior. Demetrius' life then exemplified the life of what truth taught. It was consistent with the truth. And so then truth testified on his behalf. If it can be said of Demetrius, then should it not also be said of you and I? We should live a life such that truth testifies on our behalf of the type of life that we're living. How is it, though, that one has a good testimony? Well, one of it is by speaking the truth. In 3 John verse 3, it says, "For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth," that is, how you are walking in the truth. To have a good testimony from the truth, you have to speak truthfully. There are way too many people in this world that are untruthful. There are some people that are so bad off, sometimes you know when they're lying because their mouth is open. It bothers me also that some people are so used to people lying to them that when you tell them something, they just turn around and say, "Well, you don't really mean that." Well, if that was true, then why would I say something if I didn't really mean it? Sometimes people get upset when they write to me and I write back and I just basically repeat what they say. I just reword it a little bit to make sure, verify that this is really what they want to say. And they get all upset at me. "You're taking my words out of context." No, I repeated your words back. I just reordered them a little bit. Doesn't make it clear. Christians have to be honest. And that means we say what we mean and we mean what we say. As simple as that. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 25, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We are brothers and sisters. There's nothing to hide. We should all just speak truth with one another. People should be able to rely on our words. When we say this is what we're planning to do, then that's what we are planning to do. In Colossians chapter 3, and starting with verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Lying is a part of the old ways. It is the way of the world. It's the way of Satan because he's the father of lies. It is not a part of the Christian's life. Truth is. that God's always expected his people to tell the truth. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, second book from the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 8, and in verse 16, it says, "These are things which you should do. Speak truth to one another. Judge with truth, and judgment for peace is in your gates. Also, let none of you devise evil in your heart against one another, and do not love perjury. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord." One of the Ten Commandments was do not give false witness. What does that mean? Speak the truth. Not just in court, all the time. Always speaking the truth. Making fair judgments because of that. Something that wisdom always taught us in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 6. Proverbs 8 verse 6. "Listen, for I will speak noble things. The opening of my lips will reveal right things. And for my mouth will utter truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips." As I was teasing earlier about some people with their lies. How do you know when a Christian is telling the truth? It ought to be when his mouth is open. It should always be that way. And speaking is more than, or speaking the truth is more than speaking what we think is the truth at the moment. Sometimes we just assume anything I think of and anything I believe, that must be truth. No, that's not always true. In Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 17, "He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit." Is an obligation on our part that we need to find out what is right. We need to look for what is right. And then speak the truth. It should be such that is one way to do that is always to speak God's word. Sometimes when people are saying, well, how do I teach others? How do I make sure I stay right? Always reference to what God said. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who serves by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." How do you give God credit? Use God's words. I found this fascinating. One of the things that triggered this idea was the fact that just last night I had an argument with a woman who was writing to me. And she was upset because I cited Scripture to answer a 14-year-old's question. And she said, well, you can't expect a 14-year-old to understand. I said, yeah, I can. God does. 14-year-old's well old enough to read and be able to read and understand things. Then she got upset with me because when I answered her back, I cited Scripture again. There you go again. What she's upset about is she doesn't have an argument. Because if she argues, she's arguing against what God said. Because I'm not citing my opinions, I'm backing it all up with what God said. That is how we have to deal with the world. God's words are truth. And a lot of times, people prefer fables. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Many people much prefer to be told a lie because they find comfort in somebody who tells them exactly what they expect. We, though, have to be people who speak truth. And truth will be uncomfortable at times. It will step on our toes at times because we don't always live up to what the truth says and means. We are to speak the truth in love because that causes others then to grow as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We speak the truth in love, and it causes each individual part working together, helping one another, so that all of us then grow. All of us are then edified and built up. Well, it's not only just speaking the truth, but what we find in 3 John is people have to obey the truth as well. They have to put it into practice. Going back to 3 John, verse 3. For I was very glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. For I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children are walking in the truth. It's not just what we say, it's also what we do. And again, the point is, God's word is truth. And so we must live by it. In John 17 and in verse 17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. We have to understand this. If we have any questions about what is right and what's wrong, God's word is always truth. We have to accept it and start that as our foundation, and that's what we live by. We listen to what God teaches us, and we follow the truth, and from that fruit is born. In Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you have previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is consistently bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. God's word produces good fruit. It results in goodness and righteousness, justice being done. It changes lives. And so we have to live by it. In Luke chapter 8, and in verse 15, Luke 8, verse 15, but the seed is the good soil. These are the ones who have the word in an honest and good heart, and holding it fast, bear fruit with perseverance. The good seed falls upon the good soil, which is the ones with honest hearts, good hearts, ones who desire the truth, and then from that produce. And those are the type of people that we must be. See, truth has to be believed. It can't be just words that are given, but honestly believed to the point at which we obey it. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 13, in Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. We are saved by the gospel of truth, the gospel of our salvation. That which we believe, it then produces a change in us so we might reach heaven. And so it has to be obeyed. It has to be applied. It can't be just words. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 starting with verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but which is imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Since you have in obedience to the truth. That's what belief is. Believing something so much that you'll do what it says. And without obedience, Paul says in Romans chapter 2 that we're just storing up wrath for ourselves. If we're going to reach heaven, we have to obey God. In Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. There is no such thing as belief or faith without works. That's what James tells us. The only way that we can obey the truth, to believe the truth, is to put it into practice. The real assurance of salvation and forgiveness of sins is in the testimony of the truth, which is seen in our lives. Not just in our words, but in the very things that we do. And so we have to put the truth into practice. Going again back to 3 John, this time starting with verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully and whatever you accomplished for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. For they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Working with the truth. Putting into practice, being a partner with what the truth teaches. Again, it's not just words, it's deeds. In 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know that by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before Him, in that whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. How do we know we're following the truth? How do we know we're saved? By what we do, as well as what we say. Words alone basically accomplish nothing. Going over to James, which we referred to earlier, James chapter 2, and starting with verse 14. James 2, verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. How do you know when you're following the truth? By your works. What you do. You're living in accordance to what God teaches. Over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, brethren or beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Here's a list of things that we can practically put together. Love for the brethren, sincerity of heart. But notice especially verse 17. Doing what is right in the sight of all men. Always putting it into practice. Doing what is right. You see in some religions, people who want to give their testimony. They want to stand up and say, this is what God did for me in my life. There's one big problem with that. The testimony of a person on their own behalf is worthless. Jesus even said that. In John chapter 5 and in verse 31. John 5 verse 31. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. If I just say, here's what happened, you cannot verify it. It's just one statement. It doesn't establish truth. It's not what we think of ourselves. It's not what we think God thinks of us. If we're walking in truth, others will notice it. Others will comment on it. Not ourselves. The testimony that was mentioned in 3 John, that's mentioned several times, is what others said about these people. Not what they said about themselves. Go back to 3 John and look at verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. There's an important point that's being made there, because by the words of two or three, truth is established. Everyone testifies to Demetrius as good. The truth verifies it, that it is good. And John says, I'll add my own testimony to it too, and you know mine's true. Here's three witnesses. Oh, that we all could have three witnesses like that. Can that be said about you and I? That everyone who knows us testifies to our good, that we walk to the truth, that the truth itself backs up what we do and say. But you know what's most important? Is whether God sees that we are of the truth. What does God think of our life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. We have to have God on our side. We are going to stand before God in judgment. God's going to look into our hearts and know exactly what we believe and why we did the things we did. And all to have God commend us. What better testimony could we possibly have? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4 and starting with verse 5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God. What kind of testimony do you have? Not what you say to other people or claim to that has happened. What testimony comes to you from others? And most importantly, what testimony is shown from God and His truth about your life? If there's anyone here who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.